This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
Are you saved today?
Yes.
Do you know where you're headed when you're absent from this finite body of ours? Because when we're absent from the body, we will be present with the Lord. And guess what? We got to be ready to meet our Maker. So we got to worship our Maker right here and right now.
Yes.
You know how Jesus' prayer goes. His disciples said, ask him, teach us to pray. Can you teach us to pray, Lord?
Yes.
He said, our Father, which art in heaven,
yes,
hallowed be thy name.
Yes.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Yes.
On earth as it is in heaven. That's the good part right there. Yes. Thy will be done. What? On earth as it is in heaven. We're thankful to be here with you worshiping once again.
Yes.
Amen. And we chose to let our worship today be with you.
Yes.
So we're thankful to be here. Yes. Amen. We find it a privilege by God as he has commissioned us. Make sure wherever you go, it was a commissioning from God.
Yes.
He should be the one that's ordering your steps. The Bible says that the righteous, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah, the Lord.
And I hope your steps are not ordered by anyone but the Lord. When I was a younger man, I had marching orders from all kinds of places. It reminded me of Kenny Rogers' song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Yeah, that was me, my God. And I found out, you know what, Jesus will have your back through thick and thin. No matter what, he validated me, vindicated me, amen. He, amen, restored me. He did all kinds of things for me. And I found out the eternal things, which were way better. God never had a plan B. There's no plan B for God in the Bible. You look for it, I'll give you $1 million. I don't have $1 million because I know you're not going to find it, amen. God never had needed a plan B. He knew what man would do. He knew our capabilities, what we were incapable of. So God already has it already instituted in how we can have strength to reach the pearly gates. And the way to have strength is through worship. So we are in our series. We're bringing it to you. It's called the Back to Basics. Back to the Basics of Christian Living series. It's a teaching and sermon series. Today we're going to be found in Psalm 34, verse 1, where it reads from the Holy Bible, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Yes.
A quick petition. Father God, we thank you for this word. I pray that it will be planted in fertile soil as your spirit has prepared the soil of everyone's soul. I know you're able, God, that you will do exceeding abundantly above what we could ever ask or think by the power of God. We thank you for restoring someone back to, amen, walking with you. We pray, Father God, that you will heal someone's broken heart. We pray, Father God, that you will bring not happiness, but the joy of heaven,
yes,
which, amen, exceeds all the expectations of finite earthly happiness.
Yes.
It's not based on things around us, but the glow of God's presence in our heart. And he will bring joy unspeakable, full of glory. We thank you, Lord, for this blessing in Jesus' name.
Amen,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to share with you this thought. We worship God for spiritual strength. We are a triune being. We have a body.
Yes.
Amen. And I could pinch some of you and you would say, ouch. Amen. Want me to try right now? No, I better not do that. Might be a lawsuit. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. But you have a body. Amen. Thank God. And we have a soul. You know what your soul is? Your thoughts, your passions, your intellect, your will, things you want to do, things you wish to do, things you plan to do, your bucket list, all that's in your soul, your emotions, all of that is in your soul. But you know what? When Adam and Eve, when they were created in the Garden of Eden, thousands of years ago, thank God, they had a living spirit. God breathed into them a living soul. So they had a spirit. So body, soul, spirit. They weren't born with a dead spirit. But after they sinned, sin entered the world. And what does sin do? It brings death with it. Death rides right along with sin. Sin is a tricky thing. It looks good. See, that's a trick. We can sense it with our body. We can see it. We can want it. Sin makes us want it. It's like a good salesman. You didn't come to that mall to buy 10 pairs of shoes, but that salesman saw you get out of the car. He said, oh, yeah, that's a good one right there. Cha-ching. That's what happened to me. I had my little teenager paycheck. A little bit of money. My God. And I said, who's this FICA guy? He took money out. I didn't even know who he was. My God. Social Security, they took it all out and then left me with little crumbs. And I said, I gotta go to the mall and I'm going to have me some fun. Go to the game room and throw some quarters in and stuff. Have some fun. But the salesman caught me before I got there. Amen. He said, no, I'm going to make you use some of your money. I'm going to sell you some shoes. And you look good in these shoes. Oh, look at the color on these shoes. It goes good with your skin. He was pumping me up. And I've never been pumped up like that. I was like, wow, this feels so good. Wow, I'm a king. He sat me down and measured my feet all nice and good. And before long, I bought like 2 pairs of shoes. I didn't even know I was going to do that. That wasn't my plan. I wanted to go in the game. This is how sin does us. He's a good salesman. And sin looks good. It's like anybody ever fished before, went fishing, put the hook in the water, you're trying to catch a fish, and the fish needs a lure, right? You're luring them in. That's how sin is. It looks good. Something you might want. So it looks good. That's not all. The devil knows we have other senses. The feel of it, the texture. Yes, all that's going to help to sell that thing. And not only that, we have olfactory lobes, which is our sense of smell. And we can smell good things, perfume, whatever, a good pie left in the window. When we were teenagers in the country, that mother shouldn't have left that pie there too long, because when she looked to go get it, it was gone. We ran in the field with that. Well, I had to pray about that. That was a sin. All right. So the devil makes us look at things, smell things, touch and feel, right? Sense it. All of the senses we have, you name it, the devil will use it against our will. We have a will, but the devil will say, this is too hard to resist. It's an offer you what? Can't refuse. That's how sin is. See, the devil wants to take our attention away from God so we don't worship him. But we will begin to worship the things that God made. We will begin to worship all the stuff. People are praying to the universe. God created the universe. Why aren't you praying to him?
Right.
You know? People are judging their life based on the courses of the planets and stars and such. God created those things. Why don't you allow the Creator to order your steps?
Yes.
You see? See, this scripture is helping us to maintain a right attitude when it comes to relating to our Creator. This is a devotional message. It's going to help us to fortify our mind with the necessary spiritual vitamins that are going to come from 2 other psalms, Psalm number 3 and Psalm number 4. Why did the Holy Spirit move me to pick these? You're going to see in a minute. These psalms are going to help us learn how to get up in the morning with a proper attitude, an attitude of gratitude towards God.
Yes.
Maintain that attitude during the day, and then go to bed in the evening with the same attitude of gratitude towards God. Now, the devil knows you have a home plate, you're in the batter's box, and you're going to hit, you're going to try to get the first, second, third, and come back home. You know, you get up in the morning and go through the day and try to end the day on a good note, make a home run, right? But the devil's going to try to sell you all kinds of things before you make it back home. He does not want you to go to bed with a good thought Not in attitude of gratitude. No, he wants you mournful. He wants you sad. He wants you busted and disgusted. Can't be trusted. Look at Psalm 3. It's a mourning prayer. Guess who wrote it? You ever heard of King David in the Bible? Yes, but this psalm was written at one of the worst times in his life. He was fleeing for his own life from the worst enemy possible, his own son. A beautiful, handsome son named Absalom. The historical record of this unfortunate event is found also in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. There is inspiration in King David's experience that gives us reason not to give into worrying and having inner turmoil that we can't control. You know, something outside of us that we can't control, we're going to start worrying about it. We're going to develop inner turmoil within our own soul. Things beyond our control, we can't change them, but we're going to lose sleep over them. You know, when that happens, Psalms 3 and 4 are what we need. Not necessarily special teas and all kinds of medicines. Guess what? You can, amen, calm your nerves and your spirit by prayerfully looking into Psalms 3 and 4. Both Psalms were written when David was exiled from his own city. Exiled out of Jerusalem because his own son Absalom had stolen the kingdom from him. Psalm 3 is a mourning time psalm. Verse 5 especially. And Psalm 4 is an evening psalm. Verse 8 especially. When you're back in your room, you can dig a little more. I don't want to keep you too long. But how was David able to sleep when he was in such danger? Imagine, able to sleep and your life is in danger. The enemy was against him in Psalm 3, verse 1 and 6. But David knew that God was for him. That's the thing. If God is for you, who could be against you? God can surround you. David knew that God surrounded him in verse 3. And sustain him in verse 5. And could save him and will save him in verse 7. God could do all these things for us. When people discourage you, from verse 2, God lifts up your head and keeps you going. Mm-hmm. In verse 3, he's the lifter up of our head.
Yes.
He gives you encouragement. God never sleeps. That's revealed in Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4. So why should you stay awake worrying? You know what? God walks before us, and he also has our back. He's our rear guard, the scriptures teach us. So I found out from one of my favorite theologians, W.W. Wiersbe, if you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. Make sense? Amen. People are wasting their time counting sheep. Don't count the sheep. Talk to the shepherd. His name is Jesus, the great shepherd of our soul. That was Psalm 3. A pretty good thing, right? That was the first pill. Take two and call me in the morning. That was the first pill. Here's the second pill. Psalm 4.
Yes.
The theme is that it is an evening prayer, which reveals how Jesus advocates on our behalf. In our weakness, that's when he comes. The devil comes in our weakness to pounce on us, but Jesus comes in our weakness to pick us up. Amen?
Amen.
To heal us, to strengthen us. Amen. To help us carry on and go through. Amen. Without error. Amen.
Amen.
This is showing us how we ought to pray to the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. This brief psalm divides itself in three ways. A cry out to God, right, in verses 1 through 3. Then a correction, because this is why we're praying. We want to get into the groove of God. We want to find out what key his song is in, what's the rhythm and everything, and let's move to his song. Don't tell God, take that record off and put this one on. That's not what prayer is about. You've got to find out how late you are to the party and get with the groove. Amen. That's what prayer is. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
That's what prayer is. So there's a correction that will happen in verses 4 and 5. And then you get confidence through the Holy Spirit. Confidence in verses 6 through 8. Mm-hmm. King David wrote this very psalm as he was about to turn in for the night in verse 8. He could not do much about the war all around him, but he could do something about the war that was inside him, right? All kind of stuff going on around you. You can't do much about it, right? Sometimes you might have a little bit of responsibility in it, and you could change whatever is your responsibility. But most often, it's stuff we can't change. But we can change our attitude. Amen. So David did not want to lie in bed and worry all night. So he committed himself and his situation to his girlfriend? No. The son that was after him? No, not him. He was not a good source. Who do you think it was?
God.
Amen. The Lord. This is what God expects for all of us to do. He inspired David to chronicle this threefold testimonial as encouragement for all of us. This is why God had things happen in the Bible and wants us to see what happened to other folk so we can learn from it. He's talking to us. It's always echoing out in time to us. So let's look a little closely and then we're done. So in verses 1 through 3, David asked, you know what? When we seek, knock, and ask, that's a part of prayer. We're approaching God. Like those salesmen come approaching you, knocking on your door, ready to sell you something. We don't want any. And that's when my mother's like, shh, be quiet. We're not home. You know, I say, Mom, but isn't that a lie? She says, shh, be quiet, boy. We're not home. You know? Don't answer the door. You know? But they're coming to ask. You know they are. Knock, knock. I'm here representing. Oh, yeah, here they come, ready to sell you stuff. But we got to go to God like that. God wants us to approach him. You know, when you approach God, he's going more than you are. He's, amen, taking a double step. You take one step, he'll take two, amen? Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But there's going to be a correction that will happen. God allows all of us to come as we are to him. But guess what? God is holy and he wants all of us to be holy, right, without sin. So there's going to be a change in who? God or us? In us. Oh, God's will should be done well on earth as it is in heaven. Some of us got it backwards. Our will be done in heaven as it is on earth. We're going to mold God. We're going to make a Play-Doh Jesus. Mold him and make him. We're not supposed to be molding and making God. He's supposed to put us on his potter's wheel, as it says in Jeremiah 18. And we are going to be fashioned the way we ought to be fashioned. Jesus said it in the garden when he was about to be arrested for all of us, amen, and die and pay the price of sin for all of us and rise again and triumph over sin. He said, Father, if it be thy will, take this bitter cup away. He said, nevertheless, yes. Not my will, yes. But thy will be done.
Yes.
We got to get to that in the prayer. Yes. The Holy Spirit can keep chiseling on us until we get there. But sometimes we don't want to wait on the Holy Spirit. We want God to be a microwave God. Ding! It's done already. I'm thankful to God that I grew up in the older era, you know. And some of you have an older era than me. Maybe you had to crank up the record player and then put the needle on there. And then the power ran out. You had to crank it again. I don't know if any of you had that. But when I grew up, we had the vinyl record. We could put it on there. And the electricity, too. I didn't have to crank it. Amen. You know, we had the modern day, the non-cranking record player, you know. But now, and then they started having, you know, 8-track tapes. You could put a lot of songs on there, the whole album on in one traveling through. And but you had to listen to the whole thing in order and let it start back over, you know. But now, you know, they have the wherewithal. They could just go to whatever song they want. Boom. Quick. Everything's quick. When my mom changed diapers, she had the cloth kind and the little needle, the diaper pin. She could do it so smooth. Boom, boom. I'm like, wow. Then she has some more siblings, and I'm the oldest out of six. So the younger ones, I had to help change their diapers. I wanted to be like mom. Boom, boom. I was trying to do it. I stuck my finger a lot of times. My God. Ouch, ouch. I don't know how she could change the diapers like the cloth diapers. And you had to dump them into the toilet. I hated doing that. I was like, oh my God, I hate changing diapers. Why can't I be with the teenagers outside having fun? I'm dumping diapers. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Lord. But I had to do that. Then someone invented Pampers. Woo-hoo! Pampers. Just dispose of it real quick. Boom, another pamper. Run! And Huggies. While they're trying to train, they can wear the little Huggies and not mess up the floor. But you could tell something was going on. They start walking a little funny. Huh? But all these things come so that we could learn how to hurry up. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. We don't even have to wash dishes. Put them in the machine. Let the machine do it. No, nope, I was the dishwasher back in the day. It was me. But now you got every machine doing everything. So what do we have left to do? Look at Netflix. We don't even have to get up no more.
No.
The clicker just boom, boom, boom. I had to get up. I was the clicker. Clink, clink, clink. Three channels. That was it. Then at 10:30, 11 o'clock, ten, that was it. No more shows. A big X on the screen. Need time to go to bed. But all that has made us to want to hurry up. Guess what? We want God to do that. We want to hurry up God. Hurry up God. It's like we invented all this stuff. We forgot God put knowledge in our brain to help us invent stuff. But now we want to fashion God to make him hurry up. David found out he couldn't hurry up God. He had to get with God's program, not convince God to get with his. We worship God for spiritual strength. Not to say, God, you're weak. You need to get with the program, God. You need to plug into my program. No, we got to plug in what? To his program. We worship God for strength. So you got to ask God. Ask the Lord for help. Amen. And then believe in verses 4 and 5 of the psalm. Believe. David was faced with anger, and he honestly gave it all to God. Thank God. And in the New Testament, we see the whole story in Ephesians that there is a worthy cross reference that we could go to God and lay things on the altar and let him take it. Amen. And he will strengthen us, etc. So instead of lying in bed and thinking about your problems, meditate on the love that the Lord God has for our soul and reciprocate praises of love back to him. That's the medicine you need, see. It's always in there. God has chemicals in our body, dopamine, to help you feel good. You know, when you do something good for somebody, you have this good feeling. God put those chemicals in our body, amen? Thank God. And you don't have to get high on stuff. Get high on loving. Love will make you real high, I tell you. You love somebody else that doesn't deserve it. Love somebody that probably won't love you back, and watch how high you get. You got to be real high to love some knucklehead that's not going to love you back. That's the anointing from God. God will give you power to love the unlovable. He loved me just like he showed me, amen, on the cross through Jesus. When I wasn't even worth anything, he died for me.
Yes.
He did it for all of us.
Yes.
Amen. Then we got to receive the Lord's will and accept it in our hearts. David had to do that. He learned to do it, and so must we. He even wrote special songs to God, and he ordered special instruments, sometimes to be created and made, and those that were already made, the stringed instruments. He gave the name of the instrument, and they wrote songs that went up to heaven.
Yes.
And I could sense that the Holy Spirit gave him the song. And it was matching what was going on in heaven. Imagine, you're tuned up the way heaven is tuned. And you're in tune with God. Mm-hmm. And God can strengthen you that time, in that time, in that moment. He's giving you now power to live right. Power to, amen, think right. Power to interact correctly with others. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. We are expected to sing to God Not always audible, you know, or in musical perfection. My wife is the singer, not me. I mean, the anointing comes real good. I might be able to carry a couple of notes for a minute, but when the anointing dissipates, I better sit down and give her the mic back. Amen. Thank God. But we ought to always sing to the Lord.
That's right.
But and then we ought to also persevere in prayer to God. It's not based on how we feel, but based on who he is and based on what he said he will do. I had to learn there's three things God can't do. Mm-hmm. He can't die. Mm-mm. He can't fail. Amen? Mm-mm. Amen. What else can't he do? Let's see some. He can't tell lies. Amen. Isn't that right? So if God said it, he's going to do it. He said it in his word, I can rest assured, he's going to do it. Because he can't lie. That's the devil's job. He's the father of lies. And he brings all kind of confusion to get you to buy stuff. He's a liar. He's luring us in. But we have to ignore him and sing that song the Holy Ghost gave us to God. Persevere in prayer. Amen. Turn your heart to God. Yes. People are always saying, follow your heart. I'm like, no, I don't want to follow my heart. I was born and shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. No, I'm going to do like my wife says, yeah, no. I'm not going to follow my heart. Guess what I'm going to do to my heart? I'm going to train my heart.
Yes.
The Bible was written so we could have our heart trained. Yes. And guess who reveals the truth in the word? The Holy Spirit does. So sing your melody to the Lord. God, amen, and his presence will be invoked as we prayerfully sing unto him and praise his name through the bad times. Say, God is yet good. Yes. He's still not a liar.
Yes, right.
He still can't die.
Yes.
Hey, hallelujah. And God will never fail. He always wins. So remember this as we are closing. When we're gone from out of here and you're in your room, just know God expects us to experience a daily spiritual revival if needed, right? He has to revive us on a daily. If he's commanding us to praise him every day, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he's going to give us strength to do that. He's not going to just leave us high and dry. He didn't leave Jesus high and dry in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying in vehement pain that the sweat now had blood in it. My God. Before they even pierced him, before they even punched and slapped him and kicked him, my God, before they put the thorns, he was already bleeding through prayer, persevering for us.
Yes.
How dare we dishonor God?
Hallelujah.
It's time for us to go back to God, I say.
Yes.
We can't allow sin to creep in our heart and take residence in our heart, hold us captive. Jesus said, I came to set the captive free.
Yes.
He can free you. And he who the Lord sets free is what? Free indeed. Hallelujah. I pray that something I said blessed your heart. I pray that the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart. We worship God. Amen. For spiritual strength.
We of the realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.